Hello, and welcome to the Service Contractor's Business Tape CD of the Month. This monthly cassette CD series represents yet another step in accomplishing Grandy & Associates' vision of teaching contractors how to run profitable companies. Each month, a different national speaker from throughout the service and trades industry shares dozens of cost-reducing, profit-increasing ideas to help you become a more profitable company. This month's presenter is Lorraine Ball. Lorraine Ball is a 20-year veteran of corporate America. She has a track record of inspiring people to succeed in a changing environment. She has created high-performance teams in retail, manufacturing, and service organizations. An accomplished marketing professional, Lorraine led the corporate communication team of Conseco as the Vice President of Creative Services. Under her leadership, turnover dropped from 90% annually to zero. Prior to joining Conseco, Lorraine spent 9 years at United Technologies Carrier in a variety of roles. As senior brand manager, she directed her team in the challenging task of eliminating a regional brand and launching Bryant nationally. As a published author, her articles on marketing, team building, and business development have been featured in Contracting Business, the New York Forum, the ACH&R News, and on DigitalWoman.com and MBNet.com. She's just published her first book, The Entrepreneur's Notebook. Lorraine has an MBA from the University of Texas and a BA in education from Queens College, City University of New York. She's been a member of the faculty at the University of Indianapolis and currently teaches at the Indiana Institute of Technology and Marion College. Combining her educational background and experience, Lorraine founded Round Peg. Today, as president of this unusual consulting firm, Lorraine teaches managers around the country how to use creativity to build high-performance teams, develop marketing and business plans, define priorities, and achieve exceptional results. Today, Lorraine is going to present some truly unique yet simple and inexpensive ideas on how to find business in your business card file.
Hi, my name is Lorraine and I'm a networking junkie. But, unlike people with other addictions, I'm not looking for a 12-step program to cure me of my habit, because I think it's healthy to get my business fix from networking. As a small business consultant and a business owner myself, I've seen firsthand the buzz a business gets from a strong referral addiction. Potential clients introduced through referrals are already favorably predisposed. You're more likely to close the sale and close it faster because referral clients feel as if they know you. You can spend less time on preliminaries, such as introductions and trust building, when the call has been pre-warmed with a referral. This is not a 12-step program, but here's my plan to build your referral addiction. In the next 30 minutes, I will share with you practical strategies to build a referral network, simple techniques to put the right words in your word-of-mouth marketing, and tools you can use to find business in your business card pile. To begin, a healthy referral-based business is built on two elements: recommendations from existing customers and recommendations from other business professionals. Building a sea of customer evangelists is an important part of your business, but it's an entire conversation on its own. Today, I'm going to focus on building a referral network made up of other business professionals. In most cities, each week there are numerous networking events, such as the local chamber or Kiwanis Club, maybe a few chapters of BNI, PRE, Info Connection, possibly a local trade association, small business organization, or men's or women's club. So how do you choose? Like all good marketing, networking should begin with a plan. Quality leads and referrals don't happen by accident. Don't randomly pick a group or event. Use a systematic approach to evaluate and choose groups in which to invest your time, energy, and money. Look for groups that meet two important criteria: the right people are in the room and their opportunities to build visibility and credibility. What do I mean by the right people? This style of referral building is about creating relationships with other business professionals. So look for a room filled with people who call on the same customers you do. For example, when working with a photographer interested in growing his wedding business, I suggested he create relationships with a caterer, a florist, a baker, jeweler, videographer, and invitation designer. The reason should be obvious. The average bride will spend $20,000 on her wedding. Having a solid network of people who are talking to brides allowed him to reach more potential customers. The same process works in the home services industry. You should have relationships with a roofer, carpenter, maid service, painter, remodeling contractor, electrician, and snow removal company. The average homeowner is doing something in their home every few months. Creating a network of associates on the lookout for opportunities for you is like expanding your sales force. And while you're thinking about a potential candidate for your referral network, consider a home inspector, real estate agent, insurance salesman, and a mortgage broker as well. Finding a room full of the right people is only half the battle. Next, it's important to evaluate opportunities for visibility and credibility. This is the work part of networking. Too often, clients tell me they went to a group once or twice and it didn't generate any leads, so they never went back. No kidding! How likely are you to open up your Rolodex or turn over your best customer to someone you met briefly over rubber chicken or stale Danish? The hard, cold fact, business networking takes time. For groups that only meet once a month, it may be 6 or 7 months before you begin generating sales. People need to get to know you before they give you a lead or referral. There are ways to accelerate the process, but you must get involved. That means you can't show up late and leave early. You have to be there and be visible. As you consider joining a particular group, ask the following questions. Who's on the board? Is there an opportunity to serve on a committee or chair an event? Does the group have a newsletter which would accept an article that you wrote? Is there an opportunity to do a presentation or sponsor an event? Look for opportunities that showcase some of your skills or expertise, or give you a chance to get to know specific members. A plumber with whom I was working joined the membership committee of the local chamber. His job was to deliver the welcome packet to new members. As a result, he got to know every new member of the chamber. When he went to a meeting, everyone knew Dave. Being involved and active has benefits beyond the organization itself. Board members are often interviewed or quoted in the local paper. An insurance saleswoman became president of a local women's group. Every time she was quoted in the paper, she'd get calls and emails, and a few ultimately became clients. So, consider the opportunities a group offers, and then commit to doing the work involved to take advantage of them. It's called networking for a reason. If it was easy, it would be called net playing. Now you're ready to attend an event. For many people, walking in the door of a networking event brings back memories of a middle school dance. You remember, standing in the corner, palms sweating, staring at your feet, hoping someone would talk to you? Well, that strategy didn't work in seventh grade, and it won't work now. Neither will hanging out with a few friends in the corner. So, how do you work a room? Here are some of my favorite techniques. First, print your name legibly on your name badge and put it on the right side. It's more readable when you extend your hand. Next, walk into a room and position yourself just to the right of the door. I'm not sure why this works, but human beings are creatures of habit. Unless there's a specific reason to do otherwise, they will walk into a room and turn to the right and begin to move in a counterclockwise pattern. As they walk in the door, they'll be facing you. Say hello. It's that simple. People come to networking events to meet people, so they'll respond to a friendly greeting. If standing in one place doesn't work for you, move slowly in a clockwise direction. You'll run into all those people moving counterclockwise and say hello. I like to look for the new people. Even if it's my first time at an event, I can usually spot them, hanging out by the buffet table or on the perimeter of the room, staring at their shoes, hoping someone will say hello. To get more than a simple hello, try the mirror technique. People will mirror what you do without thinking about it. If you say, "Hi, my name is John," the other person will say, "Hi, my name is Mary." If you say, "Hi, my name is John Smith," it's likely the other person will reply, "Hello, my name is Mary Jones." And if you give them just a bit more, "Hi, my name is John Smith, and I own Smith Heating," the other person will probably reply in kind, "My name is Mary Jones, and I work for Charter One Real Estate." And now you're on your way to a conversation. Simple questions are a great way to keep the conversation going. "Is this your first time here?" Or, "I'm new. Do you know how the program works?" People love to be knowledgeable and share what they know. "How did you hear about this event?" Or, "Why did you come?" These questions may lead you to another event or networking group. 3 years ago, I met a man at a Chamber of Commerce event. He only attended that one meeting, and I have never seen him anywhere else since. But in the course of the conversation, he mentioned a new group that he had visited called Rainmakers. It was just starting out, 20 people or so at each meeting, but he thought it had great potential. He promised to send me information on the next meeting, which he did. Based on his enthusiastic endorsement, I checked the group out, and it was a great fit for my business. I jumped in with both feet, and today I serve as a member of the board of directors of a group whose average meeting attracts 150 people. Also, more than 30% of my current projects can be traced back to referrals from this group. And all this happened because I asked a simple question. What other groups do you belong to? Sooner or later, the networking conversation winds its way around to the question, what do you do? Most networking and sales training classes include a section in creating a 60-second soundbite to answer the question, what do you do? If you have one, lose it. 60 seconds is a very long time. The next time you're at a networking event and launch into your 60-second soundbite, watch the other person. At about 20 seconds, their eyes glaze over. At 45 seconds, they start thinking about what they're going to say next. And if you're still talking at 65 seconds, they're looking around the room and trying to figure out how to get away. The truth is that most people's attention span is about 10 seconds. So, find a way to answer the question in 10 to 15 words. For example, when asked what I do, I typically say, "My company RoundPeg helps business owners find a starting point." That's it. Short, sweet, and to the point. If they're interested, the listener will ask how I do that, and I have a longer answer. If they don't, it means they aren't interested, and so I don't waste my breath. Shorten your intro and turn the conversation back to them with a question, because you'll learn more if you're listening. This is not a room full of customers. Your mission is to find other business professionals who you want to add to your network. People who will refer you to their clients, and people you will feel comfortable referring to yours. So ask questions. How long have you been a plumber, doctor, teacher? How did you get started? Ask about their most interesting, challenging, or favorite customers. This helps identify companies which have the same target customer as you. It will also give you some interesting insight into how they handle customers. It will help you determine if their values are similar to yours. Ask who good referral sources are for them. Perhaps you can make a connection or an introduction. This will come in handy if you decide to use the handoff technique I'm going to talk about in a few minutes. If asked a question, don't be evasive, but think of a networking conversation as a tennis match, and your objective is to make contact and knock the ball back to the other side. Answer their question briefly and turn it around with another question. Keep them talking. After a few minutes, it's appropriate and polite to ask for a business card. This is more important than giving them one of yours. With the card in hand, you have control over the next step. You can call or write to establish a follow-up connection. While I'm on the subject of business cards, I want you to take a lesson from the Japanese. A few years ago, I met a number of Japanese business people, and I noticed an entirely different etiquette when it came to handing out or collecting business cards. They present their business card with a bit of ceremony. They pass it with two hands and a slight bow. To be polite, you're supposed to accept the card, also with two hands and a slight bow. Now, if I did that at a local Chamber of Commerce meeting, people would assume I was nuts. But the action of honoring the business card is extremely powerful. A simple gesture, it conveys a tremendous amount of respect and interest. When handed a card, take a moment, read it. Comment on the logo, the colors, something, and watch the body language of the other person, particularly if they're the business owner. They'll stand up a little straighter, and they'll smile. Conversely, watch as other people ask for your card, and then they simply shove it in their pocket without looking at it. When that happens, I always wonder why they even bothered to take it. They're clearly not interested, or at least that's what their actions are saying. So the next time someone hands you a card, take a minute and make them feel valued. At the event, your goal should be to have a number of brief conversations and identify several people you want to follow up with after the event. This networking conversation is only the beginning. Many more in-depth conversations will be required to solidify a referral relationship. But the relationship starts with good networking. Good networking that's more than a superficial conversation and a chance to hand out business cards to anyone who'll accept them. Productive networking is precise communication with key decision makers and potential referral partners. It's a chance to discover business opportunities, to position yourself, and begin to develop relationships. With practice, you'll be able to decide in a few minutes if this is someone you want to follow up with. And so, after a 5 to 7 minute conversation and an exchange of business cards, it's time to move on. Ending a conversation is sometimes more challenging than beginning one. Practice some of these phrases. The more often you say them, the more natural they will feel when you need them. It was nice to meet you. I hope you enjoy the event. And take a step away. The physical movement is a cue to the other person, who, still in mirror mode, will typically step back as well. Or, I really enjoyed meeting you, and I want to find out more about your business. Maybe we could meet for coffee, lunch, etc. But only offer this if you really mean it. And make sure you follow up within 48 hours to set up that next appointment. Or, there's someone I want you to meet. This is called the handoff and works really well if you know other people in the room. I encourage my clients to attend networking events with an associate and then split up as soon as they walk in the door. Periodically, they touch base, introduce each other to someone new. This takes some of the pressure off and gives you twice as many opportunities to make good contacts at an event, as well as a person you can hand off to when it's time to move on. Whichever technique you use, say goodbye and start again. Okay, so now the event's over and you return home and empty your pockets, putting the business cards you collected on your desk. What comes next? If you're one of those people who organize them in neat piles, tied with a rubber band, and a promise to get to them someday, just toss them in the trash and don't bother going out again. Networking is work. Sort through the cards right away. Select one or two who are really worth following up with. Send an email or, better yet, a handwritten note card within 48 hours. It doesn't have to be long. It was nice to meet you. I'd enjoy a chance to continue our conversation and find out more about your business. Are you available for coffee, lunch, etc.? Next, organize all of the contacts. This does not mean sorting them alphabetically and putting them in a box. That was okay in 1977, but not today. To keep up or stay one step ahead, you have to have your data organized in an electronic database, spreadsheet, or contact management program. The availability of affordable, easy-to-use contact management systems has made this process something every business owner can do. No one format makes sense for every business. Excel, Outlook, ACT, Goldmine Access are all possible foundations for your marketing database. Evaluate potential programs by looking for easy-to-use tools with the ability to create output reports in a useful format. And a useful format is what makes sense to you, not someone else. I use ACT, and I typically recommend that to all of my customers. It's very easy to use. It's compatible with other programs. Data records can be imported or exported for use with programs like Outlook, Excel, Word, QuickBooks. If you're interested, you can download a sample version and use it free for 30 days. Simply go to act.com. That's www.act.com. There are also several online databases that promise to help you manage your contact. I am really not a fan of programs like Plaxo or LinkedIn. Despite promises to the contrary, I think they sell their databases, because as soon as I signed up, my spam increased dramatically. They also interface directly with your email system, and once loaded, it's almost impossible to get rid of the program. My recommendation? Keep your data on your own system. And if the idea of typing all those names after each event is a bit overwhelming, there are a few shortcuts. 1. Hire a teenager, or better yet, a stay-at-home mom to do the typing. 2. If you're picking up a lot of cards at each event, consider a card scanner. This simple device is amazing. It will scan each business card, save a picture of the card, and actually read the data and convert it to a file that can be imported to Word, Excel, Outlook, or ACT. It's not perfect, but it is significantly faster to proof the cards than to type all of them. CardScan is manufactured by a company called Corex and can be purchased at Staples, Office Max, or online. The retail price is typically around $245. Don't pay that. One of the office supply stores is always running a special with a $100 rebate. This product, combined with a teenage son in search of quick cash, has saved me hours of data entry time. What kind of information should you collect? Well, the basics, of course. Name, address, title, phone, email. But that's only the starting point. For a business database, be sure to capture industry and key markets served. At some point, a client will ask you, "Do you know someone who?" With an electronic database, names, addresses, and phone numbers are just a few keystrokes away. Also, a well-organized database is the foundation for your marketing activities. A heating and air conditioning contractor I worked with was concentrated in one part of the city. He wanted to expand his business to a new, growing community outside of his core territory. Using his database, he sorted by zip code and pulled names of home inspectors, realtors, insurance professionals, and other home service companies based in or near that new community. He sent letters offering a referral bonus and generated quite a few leads in a short period of time. Another critical piece of information to capture is the referral source for each contact. How did you meet this person? A year from now, when it's time to renew your membership, you can use your database to determine which groups have delivered the most connections or the best connections. This is not always the same. I met lots of people when I belonged to BNI, but very few became clients or even good referral sources. Conversely, I met fewer people from the Indiana Venture Club, but those connections have led to some terrific business opportunities. When it's time to renew, it's an easy decision. What else should you track? Conversations, follow-up notes, promises, and hot topics. Relationships are built over time, so knowing things in which they are interested gives you the chance to stay in touch. When you run across an interesting article or web link, pass it on. Staying connected moves you to the top of the list. When asked if they know someone who does what you do, your name will pop into their head easily. If you've sent them something recently, even if it has nothing to do with your business specifically. You will be on their mind. In casual conversation, a mortgage broker discovered that a real estate agent she was trying to work with was interested in Civil War history. She came across an announcement of a new museum exhibit of Civil War artifacts, and she passed it on. The email arrived just as he was writing up a contract for a buyer, and he passed the mortgage referral to her. The exhibit had nothing to do with the mortgage business, but the timing of the connection was perfect. Combined and used consistently, these strategies and tactics will help you build the foundation for a referral business. But the way to move to the top of the pile, be memorable, and get referrals is to give them. When evaluating with whom you want to follow up and stay in touch, think about what you can do for them. Be fair. If you can't see yourself ever referring any business their way, don't waste their time or yours cultivating the relationship. There's a saying about getting what you want by helping others to get what they want. And when it comes to business referrals, I really believe that's true. If you create opportunities for someone else, they're more likely to create them for you. And if they don't, move on. It doesn't have to be one for one, but over time, if you've made quality introductions, which have turned into sales for someone else, you have a right to expect that they will do the same for you. Again, this is where your database tool comes in handy. I know how many customers I have sent to my financial planner or my accountant because I track it just the way I do with referrals given to me. After 2 years of working with and referring clients to an accountant who did a fine job, I noticed that she had never sent clients my way. So I fired her, and I found someone who truly wanted to be a partner in my business. It's important to track the referrals you give for more than just keeping score, because referrals are personal. When you give the name of a resource to a client or a friend, you're connected to that resource. If they handle the assignment professionally and competently, your value as a trusted advisor or the go-to guy increases. Conversely, if they blow the project, it reflects back on you as well. So pick your referral partners carefully. Make time for your referral partners. Stay in touch through email, phone calls, or the occasional face-to-face. Find out what's new in their business and share what's new in yours. And as your relationship grows, it becomes easier to ask for referrals. Be specific. The Mary Kay lady who says she wants to work with anyone with skin will typically get no referrals. Her counterpart, who asks for names of girls who are finishing their junior year of high school, getting ready to take their senior pictures, is more likely to get a list of names. Provide suggestions on what your networking contacts can say if they run into someone who might be interested in your services. Pick one product or one service to focus on in each conversation. For example, our Mary Kay lady explains she'll do makeup before the photo shoot and give the young girl a complimentary lipstick. Because she has armed her network force with a specific marketing message, the right words for her word-of-mouth marketing, she's more likely to get quality referrals. Keep your messages short. If the offer is too long or too complicated, it's likely to get confused or forgotten. And periodically review your referral sources. Have you remembered to say thank you for a sale that has closed? A personal note or a Starbucks gift card, even if it's for only $5, is a nice way to follow up. Every few months, consider buying lunch for the person who sent you the most leads recently, and look for ways to send business their way. Also look for someone who used to be a good referral source and has fallen by the wayside. Take them to lunch as well. Maybe something in their business has changed, or maybe they've just forgotten about you. An electrician noticed that his referrals from a particular contractor had all but dried up. He called him and they met for coffee. In the course of the conversation, he found out the contractor was selling his business. As a result of the conversation, the electrician met the new buyer and became his electrician of choice. Without the conversation, the sale would have been made, and that source of business might have been gone permanently. People come and go, and so even with a strong referral base, you need to stay active and connected, always adding new people to your mix. One final thought. Networking is addictive. The more you do it, the easier it is, the greater your results, and the more addictive it becomes. My name is Lorraine Ball, and I've been a networking junkie for years. Today, 75% of my business is a result of a networking connection, and I wouldn't want it any other way.
As always, we welcome your feedback on each month's presentation. Feel free to give us a call with your comments, or if you prefer, you may fax or email our office. As a reminder, our 3-day Basic Business Bootcamp continues to help contractors learn how to run profitable businesses. For more information on Profit Max and or our boot camps, simply call or write Grandy and Associates. Also, be sure to check out our totally redesigned website. The address is www.grandyassociates.com. The address is the same as in the past, but is totally new in terms of its contents. You can now order online, view boot camp locations, and even sign up for a class online. Take a look as you have time. It might just increase your bottom line profit a bit. The Service Contractor's Business Tape of the Month is produced and distributed by Grandy and Associates. If we can be of service to you, give us a call on our toll-free line at 1-800-432-7963. Until next month, remember, invest your time and invest your money in those things that will reproduce.